Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Super Weeks, and this is the Real Talk for Rich People Show. By all evidence, we certainly do need devotion. The shooting is occurring right now in the aftermath of a shooting in Boulder, Colorado. And as I said, by the looks of it, we need all kind of devotion. I mean, we need double down on devotion. We need to know who I am is so we can get rid of it, which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Certainly, we do need devotion. Now, don't we? And this is the Real Talk for Real People show. Cartrell and I will get starting our studies right shortly. Before that, I'd like to make contemporary comments about ongoing events. I still have major concerns for the children south of the border. It seems like they're just piling on and trying to get in here. And that being said, they're housing some of them in dire situations, situations that adults would be housed in, because these housings were made for adults, not for youth, young children, preteen and pubescent children. And so I have major concerns for those, and certainly you should too. And last but not least, I see the brothers and sisters in other nations down there in Miami Beach just cutting up. You know, crazy as we want to be. No masks, no social distance. Jumping on top of people's cars like it's stairs. I mean, our thinkers are broken. I'm just be honest about it. We need help. We sick. Our thinkers are broken. That's all I got to say about that. So let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is high. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you all. Shalom, Brother Yom Sufa Ari. May the Most High bless you. Shalom.
Shalom, my brother and friend. May he bless you and your family also.
I appreciate that. Torah Rabba.
Thank you. Anytime, my brother. Anytime.
Yeah, you're talking about the children at the border. they don't want to call it a crisis.
That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. You got like hundreds of children packed like sardines in a holding pen, and they ain't got no future plans for them. It's crazy.
It's crazy, country. It's crazy.
It shows how desperate these children are to leave their country alone and walk for miles, dealing with dangerous people. It shows they're coming from really desperate situation.
Yeah, and you really can't turn them away. You know, you can't. It wouldn't be the human thing to do to turn them away. They ain't got nowhere else to go. So you got to do the right thing, and doing the right thing about it is having some quality housing for them in the transitional period, Cartrell.
Yeah. And the strangers, you're supposed to treat them like the homeborn, right?
And that's what we're supposed to do. And then that being said, I would suggest that that's what we're supposed to do as a nation, that we're supposed to be the leading example of all nations, that you should do the very same thing also.
And America is supposed to be a nation of immigrants, right?
Well, that's what they said.
Now, all of a sudden, you're setting the border because they Latinos or people from Central and South America. What's the problem?
Hey, you know what the problem is, country. They're not from Sweden or Australia.
Oh. I forgot. Norway.
Country, stop playing,
from
man.
Denmark.
You were born into this prison, okay? You ain't never forgot.
I forgot, man. I forgot.
You ain't never forgot, bro. Come on. Stop playing. You were born into this prison just like I was. We don't, some things we never forget, Cartrell. You know what, Cartrell?
I said, please, don't send him to Miami.
Please.
Whatever you do.
Hey, Cartrell.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about something, bro. It slipped my it had it on the tip of my tongue when you were talking, and I don't know, it was, man, you know, I'm getting old, brother. That's the only thing I can say. Well, look here, sis, it has slipped my mind, Cartrell, and if you don't, somewhere along the course of the conversation, Cartrell, if you don't mind, and the fellow students don't mind,
he was about to say something about the children on the border, and the fact that it's universal white racist supremacy.
No, Carter, it was something. Okay, here's what I was going to say, Carter. It was, some relationship to us. And I was talking about the NCAA women were talking about how poor their equipment was during the tourney. And I could go along with that. You know, they were saying it's been 40 years. And they said, well, how do you think it's going to work out? It's been 40 years. Well, we've been complaining about this for 40 years. I wanted to say to them, lady, we've been complaining about it for 402 years. How do you like it? You complained about some equipment, the inequality of the equipment and so on and so forth when it comes to basketball. Man, we've been born into this situation 402 years, and there is no comparison. So, but I can feel you. But 10 times that much, 40 years versus 402 years, come on, man, stop it.
And they want us to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps.
Well, with no shoes.
And no straps.
All right, Cottrell, fellow students, shall we? And for Cottrell, don't mind. You fellow students don't mind, get your books out. Turn to Shafin. Y'all call it Judges, but the real name is Shafin. And we're going to get started. Chapter 3. We're learning about princesses that Most High brought up on the scenes to help direct the nation in the right direction and save them out of their own traps that they got themselves in. And to show example, only thing you have to do is follow me. But no, just like them folks down in Miami, they just want to do their own thing at everybody's expense. All right. These are the nations that Yah left so that he might test. Now, he left these nations there for a reason. That he might test by them all the Israelites who had not known any of the wars of Canaan. So that the succeeding generation of Israelites might be made to experience a war. But only those who had not known the former wars, the five nations, the principalities, left. But the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, who inhabit the hill country of Lebanon from Mount Baal-Hamon to Libo-Hamah. These served as a means of testing Israel to learn whether they would obey the commandments which Yah had enjoined upon their founding fathers through Moses. Israel settled among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. They took their, they started off wrong first quarter. They took their daughters to wife and gave their daughters to their sons. In conjunction, they worshiped their gods. A woman can turn you into a silly putty. The Israelite did what was offensive to Yah, their north of Elohim. They ignored Yah, the Elohim, and worshiped Baalim and Ashtaroth. Then Yah became incensed. I tell you, Most High got some anger issues. You don't play with him at Israel. And surrendered to King Kushan-Rishathaim. You know, this guy, this Kushan-Rishathaim, he looked something just like us. And that's why the name said Kushan. Aram Nahat. And the Israelites were subjected to Kushan-Rishathaim for 8 years. The Israelites cried out to Yah, and the Elohim raised a champion. He heard him. For the Israelites to deliver them Othniel, the Kenzite, the younger kinsman of Caleb, the one that married his daughter, who took the city. The spirit of Yah descended upon him. And he became Israel's prince. He went out to war. And Yah delivered King Kushan-Rishathaim of Aram into his hands. He prevailed against Kushan-Rishathaim. And the land had peace for 40 years. When Othniel, the Kenzite, died. Now here we go right back to our mess again. The Israelites again did what was offensive to Yah. And because they did what was offensive to Yah, cause and effect, then Yah Yah let the king of Eglon of Moab prevail against Israel. Eglon brought the Ammonites and the Amalekites together under his command. And he went and defeated Israel, occupied the city of Palms. The Israelites were subject to King Eglon of Moab for 18 years. Then Israel cried out to, they got their mind right. He cried out to Yah, and Yah raised up a champion, another prince, the Benjamite, Elu, son of Gera, a left-handed man. It happened that the Israelites sent tribute to King Eglon of Moab through him. So Elu made himself a two-edged dagger, a gond in length, which he girded on his right side under his cloak. He presented the tribute to King Eglon of Moab. Now, Eglon was a very stout, meaning fat guy. Ehud had finished presenting the tribute. He dismissed the people who had conveyed the tribute. But he himself returned from Pesclum near Galba, and he said, "Your Majesty, I have a secret message for you." Eglon thereupon commanded, "Silence!" So all those in attendance left his presence. When Ehud approached him, the Benjamite, he was sitting alone in his cool upper chamber. And Ehud said, "I have a message for you from Yah." Whereupon he rose from his seat. Reaching with his left hand, Ehud drew the dagger from his right side and drove it into Eglon's belly. The man was so fat, the fat closed over the blade and the hilt and went in after the blade. But he did not pull the dagger out of his belly, and the fit came out of it. Stepping out into the vestibule, Ehud shut the doors of the upper chamber on him and locked them. After he left, couriers returned. When they saw the doors of the upper chamber were locked, they thought he must be relieving himself in the cool chambers. And they waited a long time. And when he did not open the door of the chamber, they took the key and opened it. They had keys back then. And there, their master was lying dead on the floor. But Ehud had made good his escape while they delayed. He passed Pezalim and escaped to Sherah. When he came there, he had the ram's horn sounded through the hill country of Ephraim. And all the Israelites descended with him from the hill country, and he took leave. "Follow me closely," he said, "for Yah has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands." They followed him down and seized the fords of the Jordan against the Moabites. They let no one cross. On that occasion, they slew 10,000 Moabites. They were all robust and brave men, yet not one of them escaped. On that day, Moab submitted to Israel, and the land was tranquil for 80 years. After him came Shamgar, son of Anah, who slew 600 Philistines with an ox gourd. He too was a prince of Israel. Cartrell, what say you, my brother, about Ehud?
You forgot the first guy, first brother.
Hmm?
What was the first brother's name?
Hold on, let me go back.
Gotta know these judges, man. We know Samson, we know Deborah.
Yeah,
we don't even know the first judge's name. What's his name?
Okay, hold on. Don't rush me, Katriel. Don't rush me.
It starts with an O.
Oh, I said Ophelia.
Othaniel.
The Kenzite, Caleb's son-in-law. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Kenaz was Caleb's brother, and Othniel was Caleb's nephew.
Okay. Now, hold on. Othniel, the Kenazite.
He was son of Kenaz from the Kenazite family.
And so, what relationship he was to Caleb?
Caleb's younger brother.
Oh, okay.
Kenaz was Caleb's younger brother.
Okay.
Othniel was Caleb's nephew.
Okay, okay.
From the tribe of Yehuda.
Okay.
The first judge in Israel was Othniel, son of Kenaah, Caleb's nephew from the tribe of Judah.
Okay, okay.
And the spirit of Yah came on him, right? And who he dealt with?
Now say that again.
He dealt with the, hold up. Okay, he dealt with the king, right?
Yes, yes, Ehud, yep.
Ehud dealt with the king of Moab. That's our family.
Mm-hmm.
And the king didn't have much of a god, did he? For them to leave him alone with an Israelite tributary. And he was able to kill a king, lock the doors, kill him, and get out. And
mm-hmm.
they standing there with the king dead while the doors are locked, which shows they had high technology to be able to lock their doors with keys.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
But I showed that he was daring, he was fearless, to pull off that, you know, daring deed by himself without, you know, consulting anybody. And he was successful, not only in killing the king, but leading the children of Israel against those people that had put them under bondage. They had just got the land, right? Damn, they're already in captivity.
Exactly.
So the Most High raised the first of the judges, Othniel, and he was dealing with that king, Kush-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, my book says. Like you said, his name means, Kush means black. And they say his name means black, double evil, double wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Kush, black, double wickedness. And where is he from? He's from Mesopotamia. That's where Abraham is from.
Uh-huh. What'd they tell you?
Huh?
What'd they tell you, Cartrell?
I don't know what it's telling you, but it's telling me a lot.
It's telling me a lot, too. Black devil. Double black devil.
From Mesopotamia. And we've seen them pictures of the Mesopotamians. Some of them is darker than me and you, bro.
Yeah, I know it. I mean, double black devil. That's cold, ain't got you? A double black devil?
Who would name their son that?
Double black devils?
The Most High always had a test.
I'm just saying, God.
The Most High always had a test for us. He always has tests for us. Are we going to succumb to what the other nations are doing, or are we going to do what Yah told us to do? And we see he left these other nations around, the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, the Philistines, and he left these people around to vex us to see if we would do like our ancient fathers did. So this is a whole other generation. It says that they didn't have to go to war with the Canaanites or the Hittites or the Perizzites or the Amorites. But Yah wanted to prepare them because these people were still in the land. And he wanted to see if they became complacent and didn't follow him and just gave in to the people that they lived around, which they did, because now you're giving your sons and your daughters and you're marrying their daughters to their people. And Yah told you not to do that, right? So these instructions were handed down from generation to generation. This is a new generation, and it seems like they're doing what they want to do, how they want to do it. We're going to marry these people anyway, even though our fathers told us not to marry them. And when they married them, they wound up worshiping these foreign gods. And it provoked Yah to anger. Why? Because Yah told us in the beginning not to worship the gods of these people. They sacrificed their children to fire gods and things of that nature. And if you're involved with them, that's what you're going to be doing. And that's what our people did. So we took their daughters to be our wives, and they gave their daughters we gave our daughters to their sons. And it says, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yah and forgot Yah the Elohim. Have we forgotten Yah today?
We certainly have, Cartrell. The evidence
so we don't know our past. That's why we're in trouble. So they had peace for 40 years. First judge from the tribe of Judah, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's nephew, because the spirit of Yah came mightily upon him. And that's what we got to watch for, because the Most High will put his spirit upon our people at certain times in order to lead our people. So this is the first instance in the book of Judges where the Most High put his spirit on one of our brothers who happened to be Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the nephew of Caleb of the tribe of Judah. He led the nation first as the first judge. And it was Ehud.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Didn't Caleb's daughter, husband, had a name similar to that? What was his name?
It was, I think, Othniel.
He took this city. He said, whoever take this city.
So he married his cousin.
So this is the same fellow, though. That's what I'm saying, same guy.
Yes.
Okay, that's why I was, that was, that's the point I was making early on. This is the same guy. Yeah, okay.
He's the mighty man of Judah.
Okay.
He's like Keller. He got the spirit of Keller, his uncle.
Oh, yeah, he certainly did. He took that city, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then we get Ehud. You know what tribe he's from?
Mm-hmm.
What tribe he from?
Ehud is a Benjamite.
Benjamite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Benjamite.
The
tribe of Benjamin became the first kings of Israel. But we get ahead of the game. But we can see that early on in our history, that Benjamin was fearless. So we see Judah stepping up. We always knew that Judah was fearless.
Always.
Now we see the tribe of Benjamin. Ehud, what did he do? He fought some serious dudes because we fight the Moabites, the Ammonites, and Amalek. That's our family. And they always hated us.
And he fighting them.
Yeah. And he did it himself because he went in by himself. He killed the fat king of Moab with a dagger that he made, right?
Uh-huh.
He couldn't get the dagger out because the guy was too fat.
The fat fold over the dagger. That's how fat he was.
And all his intestines came out.
Exactly.
So once you kill the head of the snake, the body is easy. So after he killed the king, he mustered up the troop, and they came out and fought the Moabites, the Ammonites, and our premier enemies, Amalek. So he put the first dent into these people because he's the first one that went to war with them in our land. And then we get Shamgar. Ooh-wee. What you know about Shamgar?
Exactly. Well, we're going to find out about him, aren't we?
He killed 600 Philistines. One man with an ox goad. You know what an ox goad is?
Explain to the listening audience, and I can get some information, too.
An ox goad is an 8-foot stick with a point on it.
An 8-foot stick?
Or a staff or a rod that's 6 inches wide, 8 foot long, with a point on the end of it to poke ox into moving. And then he got a scraper behind it to clean off the cart that the ox was pulling.
Oh, okay.
He killed 600 men with that tool.
One tool. That boy had a lot of Samson in him, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Early. He was Samson before there wasn't Samson. That's right, Shamgar. 600 Philistine. You know what it takes to fight one man? Do you know what it takes to fight one man one-on-one?
Yeah, I fought him. It's hard, Katya. One guy is hard.
Yep. 600?
Well, look here. When you got the spirit of Yah, remember that time I told you I got caught up in the trick bag? I mean, I'm telling you, bro, if the spirit of Yah on you, you just be in slow motion. I didn't even feel it. When he had that gun on me, and I had to do what I had to do before he did it to me, it was just everything. I was like the Matrix. I saw everything. You know how Denzel in that movie where he play a guy before he make a move, he see every move he make.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that situation in my mind. Everything slowed down. When the guy said he was going to kill me, everything slowed down. Thanks to y'all, everything slowed down. And I made a determination what move I was going to make, how I was going to make it, and what I was going to do to him in the process. And I did it, and it caused me no sweat. I wasn't even breathing hard. But now, he got some bumps and bruises. I hit him so hard one time, country, and he dropped the gun. So, I can feel y'all being on you. You know what I mean?
Well, on this level, you're talking about 600 Philistine warriors trained to fight, and one man with an ox gourd. They got swords, they got shield, they got bow and arrow. He got an ox gourd. What are the odds? 600 men against one.
Right.
So he was on a level, super matrix. You imagine fighting 600 people?
Exactly.
So under Ehud, the second judge from the tribe of Benjamin, after he beat back the Moabites, Ammonites, and Amalek, the Israelites had 80 years of rest. Of peace after him. They went into slavery for 8 years under Kushan Rishathaim, 8 years of slavery under him before Ehud knocked the Moabite king. Then served the Moabite king and Ammon and Amalek for 18 years until Ehud came along. And then Shamgar came along.
Mm-hmm.
And we were slaves under, I'm getting ahead though.
Mm-hmm.
But Ehud, we had 80 years rest. Shamgar was a bad man.
Exactly.
That's all I got to say. And don't say much about him. But you're talking about a martial art picture with Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee. This brother was all that packed into one package. And more.
Exactly. Well, Cadrell, whatever you done right there, we're going to move right along, shall we?
No doubt.
Thank you, Cadrell, for that information about that ox gourd. And what'd you say that ox gourd is used for, Cadrell?
To poke the ox to make him move.
Okay. All right. He did it. He did a lot of poking the ox, though.
Oh, yeah.
He made them move, too.
He was making sister bob out of people.
You ain't lying, brother. Chapter 4, listeners, fellow students, Cartrell gave you some good information, and you need to keep that in your mind, meditate on it. As long as you got Yah, which I don't care, you got a stick to go to ox. I don't care what you got. Y'all with you, can't nobody stand up against you. That's the message you ought to take from that, no matter what you got on hand.
I'm feeling for Ehud to go over in the king's chamber and just kill him.
Yeah, and then lock him back up in and get the smart brother. We didn't have no crash dummies.
No.
The Israelites, again, did what? Here we go again. We always go back. Yeah, we always go back to our slop, Cartrell. The Israelites again did what was offensive to Yah. Ehud now, being dead, they got right back in it. Long as they had a strong brother or sister there, they kept on point. But as soon as that strong brother or sister got out of the way, they got right back their hot mess, as we can see down in Miami. And Yah surrendered.
You can see when they killed Martin Luther King.
Exactly.
See when they killed Malcolm X.
Exactly. Go right back to their hot mess. And Ehud now being dead, and Yah surrendered them to King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. His army commander was Sisera, whose base was Harasheth-Aram. The Israelites cried out to Yah, for this guy had 900 iron chariots, his military commander, and he oppressed Israel ruthlessly, hard on a brother and sister. For 20 years with their 900 chariots. Beautiful woman here. Deborah, wife of Labido, was a prophet. She led Israel at that time. The princess of Israel was a princess. She used to sit under the tree of palms of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, meaning she was an Ephraimite. And the Israelites would come to her for decision. The woman's a smart sister. Don't be knocking at sisters now. This woman was on, when you got brothers and sisters coming to her for her smarts, this is equal to opportunity. Yah is equal opportunity, okay? She summoned Bakra, son of Abinadab, of Kedesh and Naphtali, in the tribe of Naphtali, and said to him, Yah, the Elohim of Israel, has commanded, go, march to Mount Tabor. She was smart. Everybody took her advice because she's a smart sister. She was on point. And take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali, the Naphtali tribe, and Zebulun, the Zebulun tribe. I will draw Sisera, Jabin's army commander, with his chariots and his troops toward you up to the Wadi Kishon. And I will deliver him into your hands. But Bakrak said to her, if you will go with me, I will go. I ain't going without you, sister. No, prophet. I know you on point. I ain't going without you. I will not go. She said, very well. I will go with you. She answered, however, there will be no glory for you in the course you are taking. Now, there ain't going to be no glory for you in this. For then Yah would deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. A woman would take the glory. So Deborah went to Bakrak in Kedesh. Bakrak then mustered Zebulun and Naphtali, the two tribes, at Kedesh. 10,000 men marched up after him. And Deborah also went up with him to give them more support. At Heber, the Kenite had separated from the other Kenite, descendants of Hobab. These were descendants of Hobab, father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched their tent at Eglon Bazanum, which is near Kadesh. Sisera was informed that Barak, son of Abinadab, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera ordered all his chariots, 900 chariots, and all the troops he had to move Barim to Wadi Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day on which Yah will deliver Sisera into your hands. Yah is marching before you. Barak charged Mount Tabor, falling by 10,000 men. And Yah delivered Sisera and all his chariots and army into panic before the onslaught of Barak. Sisera leaped from his chariot and fled on foot. As Barak pursued the chariots and the soldiers as far as Harash Gorim, all of Sisera's soldiers fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, had fled on foot to the tent of Joel, wife of Heber, the Kenite, one of Moses' father-in-law's descendants. And there was a friendship between King Jabin of Hazar and the family of Heber the Kenite. Joab came out because he thought he was on solid ground because they were friendly with the king. So Joab came to greet Sisera and said to him, but she was on the right team with the Israelites. She wasn't going for that. She said, come in, my lord. Come in here. Don't be afraid. You know, I'm on your team. But in reality, she was down with the Israelites. So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. He said to her, please, let me have some water. I'm thirsty. She opened a skin of milk, and he gave him something to drink, and she covered him again. He said to her, stand at the entrance of the tent. If anybody comes and asks you, is there anybody here, said no. Then Jael's wife of Heber took a tent pin, you know, something to hold a tent down, and grasped a mallet. When he was fast asleep from exhaustion, she approached him steadily, sneakily, sly, and drove the pin through his temple, Ted went down to the ground through and through. Thus he died. Now Bacharach appeared in pursuit of Sisera. Joab went out to greet him and said, come, I will show you the man you're looking for. He went inside with her, and there Sisera was lying dead. She took the glory with the pin in his temple. On that day, Yah subdued King Jabin of Hazor before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites bore harder and harder on King Jabin of Canaan until they destroyed King Jabin of Canaan. Gadriel, what say you, my brother?
This chapter says a lot about the power of Yah and how he works. And Deborah didn't need to fight the war. She just needed to be there. Like when Moses had to hold up his hands in order for Israel to get the victory against the Amalekites. Her presence magnified the Most High's presence, which is why Barak didn't want to go without her, because she was a prophetess. In addition to being a judge, she was able to communicate with the Most High directly. And Barak wasn't, so he wasn't going without her. And she told him that if she goes with him, that a woman's going to get the victory. She didn't get the victory herself. It was Yael who got the victory, right?
Exactly.
And Yael, she's the husband of Heber. Heber is the one that told the king Jabin to attack the Israelites.
Exactly.
So their house was divided. He's for the king. She killed the king. Or she killed the captain of the king's host.
His military commander. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the 900 iron chariots, which didn't mean nothing to the children of Israel, because he running without them, right? How you got 900 chariots and you running on foot?
Look here, y'all make a man get out of tank and get to running if he wants. And you have all the tanks and the Amtraks and everything. Y'all make good about that run. So that's why I don't worry about nothing very much out there. Some of our brothers and sisters, they want to get down with the militarism. I don't worry about none of that, because whatever y'all want to happen, gonna happen. I'm not worried about getting a slingshot, a bow and arrow. I'm not even worried about getting an ox cord, Cartier. Because whatever y'all happen, going to happen. And whatever he instructs me to do, I'm going to do it. That's just that on that.
You might take your shoe off. Use your shoe.
Well, I take it off, Cartier. I take it off. I'm going to make it happen, Cartier. I'm going to beat the brakes off of him with that shoe.
But one thing you might not have noticed is that in ancient times, the women had their own tents.
They had their own tents. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. I ain't bothered about it. Now, if I live back there, I had my tent, she had it, till she's still my wife. I still come and knock. I can still come and knock and send a message. Tell the wife I'll come see her tonight. I want some dinner and I want some dessert.
You're laughing, but if we go back to Genesis, right?
Right.
In the book of Genesis 24. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
I mean, I can live with that, because I'd be rolling all over and then I wake up out of my sleep swaying. So, and that's a good, she may be got post-traumatic stuff going on. She needs her own space. I ain't mad at her. I mean, my tent is pitched 5 feet away from her, so I'm good.
Okay, I got it. I think.
Okay.
Thought I had it.
But you called one thing, Cadriel. That's a beautiful setup. That means I can hang out with the wife. And we spend the night talking and whatnot. And if ain't nothing going on further on down. So okay, baby. Love you. I'm gonna head out to my sleeping spot. My tent right next to you. Either you want me to spend the night with you, that's cool. We don't make no matter, man. You know, I can spend the night with you. I can head on to my spot right next to yours. She might say, I want you to spend the night. I said, send them out, you know, spend the night. Then the next night I'll just go. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. In Genesis 31, it says, when he was looking for that teraphim after Jacob took the family away from Laban, it says, and Laban went into Jacob's tent.
Right.
And then he went into Leah's tent.
Right.
And into the two maidservants' tents. But he found them not. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. So each one of them had a tent.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. That's cool to arrange with me. I can live like that.
Yeah.
Because, see, I like my privacy. Maybe I want to read that night. Maybe I need to work on some details on some things or whatnot. I can live with them arrangements. Maybe I can have a, you know, I can have a light going on at night. I ain't got to worry about it. You need to turn them lights off and come to bed. I ain't got to worry about it because this is my tent. And them lights staying on as long as I want them to stay on in my tent. So it's a good arrangement for me. And then if she want me to spend the night, that's her tent. I got to go by her tent room. Turn the lights on. Okay, set them up. Lights going out. That's cool arrangement for me, gotcha. I ain't mad. Now, if she come to my tent now, it's Yum Soup tent rooms, okay? Turn them lights out. Leave them lights on. See what I'm saying? Take them clothes off. I mean, put the clothes up.
Yum Soup.
Yo.
Talking about a tent. How you getting lights in a tent, man?
Hey, a candle?
Well, you blow out a candle, you don't turn them off.
Okay, blow out that candle. I sound like Teddy Pendergast. Turn them off! Turn off the lights. Light a candle.
Just don't burn the tent down.
Yeah, you already know. Turn them off! Hey, you caught you just like Teddy Pendergast. Turn off the lights. Light a candle. Oh, yeah. Yum Soup, something else, Katja. I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah, you're too much, man.
But now,
each one, they had their own tent. They need their own privacy, even away from their husband.
Right.
Sometimes they needed to meditate, you know, and be.
Ain't nothing wrong with her having a spot. And I have my spot. We all in the same spot together. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't mad at her. She said, baby, I need some privacy. I said, no more. I got my tent. I go in my little stanky tent. I said, I tell her this guy, I've been in better tents than this before. My tent. Go home.
So I got a question for you.
Go ahead, Katria.
Do you think our people of today are too spoiled to live like our ancient fathers in tents?
Well, they too jealous, Katria. They too jealous.
Because they didn't have electricity.
No.
They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have the conveniences that we had. But they endured, didn't they?
Well, they too jealous and they're too possessive, Katria. They too possessive of these sisters. And they too jealous. Woman came, turn over. They jump it up. What's going on?
I'm talking about jealousy. I'm talking about the conditions. Can you live in a tent? For a year,
like two, or 3, would make me no
or
5 years.
Bro, it wouldn't make me no. I'm talking about our people.
No, they could. It wouldn't bother me. I like outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like outside. It's
how about
quiet.
Your wife? Or the one you choose? You think the woman you choose gonna like living in a tent of her own?
Well, I would have to have a discussion with her on that. And if she said she can't, well, you know, I can't either. And you can't. Well, I can't either. You know. I ain't mad at you. You know. All these arrangements is over with. You know, and we ain't gonna proceed no further. I'm glad I understand that you can't. So I hate. Okay. So I mean, we may have to live in a tent, boo. Okay. Do I have to boo? We may have to live in a tent. Okay.
How long did the Native Americans that dwelt here before the Europeans came live in tents?
They loved it. They didn't have no problem with it.
Okay.
They didn't even want to come out them tents. And if they can do it, I can too, Katri. I found your fathers did it. Abraham did it. Isaac did it.
How about the people in Saudi Arabia? How long have they been living in tents?
Some of them are still in tents.
Okay.
Okay. And they love it.
They're living in tents, bro.
But see, we have a concept of tent under Western illusion. See, those tents back then were luxurious tents. They wouldn't just...
That's still today.
Yeah, they were little rinky-dink tents. They were luxurious. They had the flooring with carpet, and they had pillows, and they had all the comforts of home in their tent. So, you know, we looking at it through the Western concept, a little rinky-dink pump tent or whatnot. That ain't how that tent was designed. That tent was luxurious, huge tents, and they were little pump tents, okay?
It must have been nice for Cicero to go into Yael's tent and just drink some milk and go to sleep.
Yeah, they were luxurious. You know, he went on the ground. They, you know, they tents had carpets on the ground. They had carpets on their ground. So their tents were quite luxurious. I mean, they were top of the line tents.
He was so comfortable, he was knocked out.
You know what I'm saying, bro? So tell me how luxurious these tents were. So, but like I said, if we look at tents through the eyes of Western concept, we're thinking of little pup tents or whatnot. But you got to look at it how they were designed in ancient times. They were designed quite different, just like the nomads and Ishmael, the nomads now that live in these tents of Ishmael, how luxurious those tents are. We had tents of similar nature. And imagine, I mean, you can only imagine where the Ark of the Covenant was held. How that, it was luxurious. And our tents, our founding fathers, when we were in the wilderness, we didn't have little pump tents. We had luxurious tents, beautiful tents, beautiful.
Lived in those tents for 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah, they were living large on the boulevard, although they were lost in the wilderness. They still were living large on the boulevard. Look here, bro. They were living in what we call them now. They were living in Fowler Holmes or Foote's home or Robert Taylor's home, Cabrini Green, whatever they got in New York City. They were living like that. Okay.
They were living off the grid, bro.
Yeah. They were living off the grid, but they were living large, Cadrille. They were living large.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Well, Cadrille, if you're done with your commentary, my brother and friend, we're all ready for another study in the Book of Proverbs, my Proverbs. I think chapter 15. 15. I could be wrong. I'm on 14. Well, it is 15 then. It is 15. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry, bro. I'm all in your business.
Now you got me confused.
Abiyah, I know you are in the study sessions. Will you please send me an update where Cartrell is located in the study session?
I think it's 14.
I think it's 14 too, Cartrell. Because I just finished 13 today. I want to go back over. Let me see. I'm in 15. So it had to be 14 because I'm always one chapter ahead. So you're at 14, I believe. Soon as I get a confirmation from Abiyah, now you could very well be at 15. But let's get that confirmation from Abiyah. Abiyah, any day now. There she goes. Abiyah, I was about to go on the rooftop fooling with you. 14, Katya. Thank you, Abiyah.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Abiyah. Appreciate that. So we give thanks again to our King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, for even leaving his writings behind so that we can attain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to get closer to our Creator. So praise Yah, hallelujah, Proverbs 14.
Praise Yah, hallelujah.
Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And if our women build up our community, starting with their children, by giving them good discipline and instruction, we would all be better off. But the father has a part. The males have a part in it too. You say behind every good man is a good woman. And a woman can either build you up or she could tear you down. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth Yah. But he that is perverse in his ways despises him. So If you perverse in your ways, that means you don't really love Yah. You want to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, the way you want to do it. And it's things that Yah told us not to do that are perverted. And when you walk uprightly before the Most High, it shows that you have the fear of Yah. Because you don't want to walk perversely and be judged accordingly. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. So that's what you hear on Facebook. A lot of pride, a lot of arrogancy,
mm-hmm.
a lot of self-righteousness. And it's all foolishness. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So you ain't just saying that off the top of your head. You're using wisdom when you speak. And when you speak wise words, it preserves your life. You don't get caught up in the foolishness that people get caught up in. He said, she said, and what they said. It says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. So if you got an ox, you got to clean up his crib. You got to clean up his mess if you want him to be productive. And that's part of the cycle of being productive. And if you want the crib clean all the time, that means you can't have an ox in it. So that's a proverb that speaks to whether you're going to be diligent or you're going to be lazy. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And we see a lot of that in America, false witnesses telling lies. That's how they get out of their prison sentences. And that's how politicians speak. They speak with lies. A scorner seeks wisdom and finds it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. So people, wisdom and knowledge, but they don't want to take the steps to achieve it. They just want to know automatically, or they think they know automatically. And when you don't seek wisdom, you're not going to find it. And if you've been a scorner, you've been scoffing at wisdom and discipline and instruction, when you want wisdom, it's not going to be there, which means you're going to make the wrong decision. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man. Get off Facebook. Get off Fool's Book. When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So don't argue with a fool. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. So people are full of deception. And it's really their folly. Fools make a mock at sin. But among the righteous there is favor. So they mock you when you eating kosher. Oh, you ain't never ate pork. Or you ain't never ate shrimp. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm healthy. I ain't nothing wrong with me. So they mocking you when you eat kosher and they eat unclean things. And they laughing at you because you're eating kosher. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. And a stranger doth not intermittle with his joy. So nobody can know your joy and nobody can really know your pain. Only you know for sure. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. All wicked governments, all wicked nations, they're destined to be overthrown. But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. So walk uprightly. Your day is coming. There is a way which seems right unto a man. And that's most of us, because we all think we're right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. So you may think you're right, but you're headed for destruction. Even the laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the of that mirth is heaviness. So the world is so wicked, even while you're laughing, there's pain.
Mm-hmm.
The backbiter in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So you reap what you sow. If you're backsliding, the backsliding ways are going to catch up with you. If you're a good man, you're going to reap the rewards of your good deeds. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings. So there's people that don't do their research. They just believe anything and anything anybody says that's charismatic, or they look good or they sound good, and they don't do their own research. My father told me, don't believe me, son. Look it up for yourself. And that's my motto. What you tell me, I'm going to look up to find out the facts. A wise man feareth and departs from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. So So some people don't know how to get out of evil and foolishness. Matter of fact, they love in the evil and the foolishness that they're in, and they're confident while they're doing it. But a man who is wise and fears the Most High, you see evil, you're going to run from evil. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Yeah, people hate wicked people who scheme and plot, you know, for no good reason to hurt other people. And anger, people get angry so quick, it means that you're dealing foolishly. You're dealing with emotions that you can't control. Sometimes you get so angry, you regret some of the things that you do in that fit of anger. So be slow to anger. Think about it. Take 10 deep breaths and think about what's going on. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. So prudent means that you're diligent in searching out knowledge and you're seeking wisdom and understanding, and you're not out there falling for every foolish thing. There's people who stand for something and are blessed, and there's people who stand for nothing and fall for everything. The evil bow before the good. That day is coming. And the wicked at the gates of the righteous. That day is coming too. Right now the wicked and the evil are in control, but their day is coming. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor. And we saw that with Job. One time he had riches, and the Most High was allowed all his riches to be taken from him. And once all his riches were taken from him, he was hated. So people hate us because the same thing. We were rich at one time. We prospered. And now we have nothing. We're poor. And we're on the bottom. And we're the most hated. But the rich have many friends. And that's true in everyday life. You ain't got no money. You ain't got no friends. You got riches. You got lots of friends. They made a song about that, didn't they?
Yeah, I think something similar to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Billie Holiday, I think it is. He that despises his neighbor sinneth. You looking at what your neighbor got and not worried about your blessing. That's keeping up with the Joneses. And when you despise and you covet, Most High said that's a sin. Be content, be happy with the blessings that I give you. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. How many people are merciful to poor people in this country?
Not many, Cartrell, unfortunately.
Count them on your hand, bro.
I try to do, you know what, Cartrell? You got to work at that.
Yeah.
You just can't just see it. You have to work at it.
You know where America can start?
Mm-hmm.
Right at the border.
Right on, brother. Right on.
Show them children some mercy, man.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
That's why they're so miserable, because they have no mercy. Even
exactly.
On poor children trying to get some help.
Yes.
Do they not err that devise evil? Yeah, the people that devise evil, and there's plenty of them. But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. So are you planning good for people, or are you devising evil? What are you doing? You're doing one or the other, right?
Yeah.
You're either doing good for people, or you ain't doing nothing for people, or you're plotting against people.
Exactly.
You're plotting against people, you're making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
If you're plotting good for people, it says mercy and truth is going to be for you. Like King David said, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yah forever. So we want mercy and truth. Goodness and mercy to follow us. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to pecuniary. So there's a lot of people that talk and expect things to happen, and nothing happens. But when you put your, when you roll up your sleeves and put your hand to the task, there's benefits.
Exactly.
How people tend to be talkers of the lips, and we tend to poverty and penury.
Right.
The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. So if you're wise, sooner or later, you're going to get the wealth that you deserve. A true witness delivers souls. He delivers what?
Souls, brother.
Yeah, because if you're lying about somebody, you say he pulled the trigger, then you're a false witness. And a deceitful witness speaks lies. And the fear of Yah is strong confidence. So when you fear Yah, you don't fear anything in life because you have the fear of Yah. And you know that Yah is with you to protect you from anything in life, which is where the strong confidence comes. So these men that we're reading about, Othniel and Ehud and Shamgar and Deborah, they had strong confidence in Yah because they had the fear of Yah. Most of our people don't have this fear of Yah, which is why they don't have strong confidence in Yah. So when you have strong confidence in Yah, you do heroic things like Ehud and Shamgar and Othniel and Deborah. A woman going to war with the men, she's not a warrior, but she wasn't hesitant about going.
No.
Oh, if I go with you, a woman's going to get the glory for the victory. And
right.
the beautiful thing about Barack, I'm not looking for the glory, I'm looking for the victory. We just need
right.
to knock these people out. I don't care who gets the glory. He wasn't selfish about that, was he?
Exactly. He was humble.
He was a macho man about that, right? Because most of them are macho men.
I came to do my thing, man. That's all I want, to do my thing.
Fall in line. And if a woman is leading the charge, I'm there.
Hey, man.
God is with him. Right?
Yeah. Just Yah's with him. I'm good with it.
But we ain't good with that these days, right?
These Negroes
crazy. You tell that woman shut up and listen to your husband. Really? I bet you would have told Deborah that.
These Negroes.
And she had a husband.
These Negroes in prison and trying to make rules in prison.
Talk to the prophetess Deborah like you talk to these sisters today. She was married. Shut up and talk to your husband. No, she was more important than her husband.
Andrea, these Negroes still in prison and trying to make rules.
Oh, yes, no doubt. And we not studying the blueprint for escaping this prison.
Exactly.
I'm studying every detail of the prison, a blueprint to escape this prison that Yah's left behind. Because there's an escape plan.
But you know what, Cartrell?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to dominate our women by Western culture, which is male privilege by Western culture, which we don't do, but which we're subscribing to now, we'd be best to join forces with our women and seek Yah to get the hell up out of here.
Exactly. And that's what we do.
Exactly.
The Nation of Israel, gathering a nation, UNY, United Nation of Israel. We don't discriminate. Our elder women who got wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, they're on the board.
Exactly.
Young brothers, they on the board, under 50, they're not really elders, but they wise enough to be elders. So we don't discriminate. If the spirit of Yah is upon you, male, female, young or old, and you're qualified to help the nation stand up,
we
need
show
you.
Them love. We show them love, man. That's how we do it, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
That's the formula. Because how many women have we run across now? Yael, Deborah, Miriam.
We need all
sisters,
hands
the daughters of the loaf ahead.
All hands on deck.
Caleb's daughter.
All hands on deck.
And we didn't silence them, did we?
No. All hands on deck.
I dare you to talk to Caleb's daughter like you talk to the daughters of Israel today.
Them sisters ain't going, bro.
Oh, no.
They ain't having none of that.
Not at all.
Matter of fact, she the one spoke up to her daddy. Hey, daddy, come on now.
Give me 12 springs.
He said nothing. Othniel didn't say nothing. Because this woman, she working on a team. That's my husband. I got his back and whatnot. But I need to say this, daddy. Come on now, daddy. Now, how you going to do it like that? He said, okay, doll, you sure right. You sure right. I got you. He said, go down there and shut up and let me talk. I'm a man. I'm a man. He said, okay, daughter, what you got? He said, what's wrong? All right, son, no more. You right. I'm going to make it happen. Papa going to make it happen.
And as powerful as Othniel was, he let her speak, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he respected her as an equal, man. These brothers failed to realize they got this Western concept, this male privilege in their mind, man. They think it's a broken brother.
And some of our sisters think it's a broken, too. Because we got sisters doing what? Foolish women pluck it down with their hands.
Exactly.
Your own house. Plucking down your own house.
They into labor, feminism, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't into usism. They into every other ism but the rightism, feminism and everything else. Ain't no more us. It's feminine. I got to have my way. You got to have your way. And ain't no way for now one of us to go. Oh, God, Drill. Some of our brothers and sisters, they never cease to amaze me.
Yeah. And that's talking historically, because we're reading about our ancient fathers, and it's so damn amazing how off they were.
Exactly. Exactly.
But we have the pathway back. We have the wisdom to get it right. And that's why we're here tonight, studying it.
Exactly.
So one thing we have to learn is how to fear Yah. If you don't know what that means, you better find out.
You better get with it.
In the fear of Yah is strong confidence. And if you don't have strong confidence, it means something's wrong. If you're fearful, it means that you don't trust Yah for some reason, or you don't really know him, you can't communicate with him. But if you got that communication with him and you fear him, and fear, to fear him is to know that he's watching you to keep you on the path of righteousness, which means that you're not going to do anything wicked or perverse to turn to the left or to the right, because you know that Yah is watching you and you want to do what's right to please him. That's the fear of Yah. And what does it say? It gives you strong confidence. Because you haven't done wrong, you could walk on the earth and, you know, feel no fear. Nobody can accuse you of anything because you've walked an upright, righteous life because you have the fear of Yah. And guess what? Your children shall have a place of refuge. So what you do is important to your children in your relationship to the Most High. Because if you're right by Yah, he'll protect your children too. Again, the fear of Yah is the fountain of life, or a fountain of life, one of many. Learning to fear Yah is the beginning of where you get your strength from, to depart from the snares of death. And we're talking about your soul. In a multitude of people is the king's honor, but in a want of people is the destruction of the prince. So you a leader, but you ain't got people, your kingdom ain't gonna last. So you're a king.
You're a king. You're a prince. You ain't got nobody. You lead.
You got 40, 50 people. You talking about you're a prince.
Oh, that's right. The kingdom ain't going to last.
Oh, no. Some people walking around as princes, they got 25 people.
Oh, that's right. All right.
I just didn't read this proverb about.
Some of our brothers and sisters never cease to amaze me, Cartrell.
Yeah, we got plenty of princes walking around, right? And a lot of people.
I'm just Yom Su, Cartrell. Exactly.
He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. So you see people lose their temper fast? It's a sign that they have no understanding. One thing I asked the Most High to give me that my father had in dealing with our people was patience. And I'm so glad he blessed me with patience.
I pray like that. I pray for a mind like Joe Cartrell.
Yeah. If you don't have patience, you're going to be quick to anger because Israel will set you off in a minute, son.
Man, what you said?
Yeah. They just look at you, they make you mad.
Man, what you said? Truth be told, Cartrell, truth be told.
He that is slow to anger is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So you quick to get mad, you're a fool.
Exactly.
A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is rottenness of the bone. Yeah, you can't be envious of people that got what you ain't got.
Exactly.
Be happy with what you got. Just be thankful for what you got.
And did you hear all them calls, Cartrell? I'm sure you and Abby and the fellow students could hear all the messages. There was envious of what my daughter had. You remember what I told you about the vehicle and transferring right. it to the daughter? That was all those proceedings were done today. And someone close to her was calling and saying this and that and another about my daughter's car. And I told my daughter, don't worry about that. You're not a child. Yah is with you all the time. I pray for my children, okay?
Yeah.
And so, but I knew where that spirit was coming from the person that was texting. Do you know where your child's working at? Wherever she works, she's an adult, and she's got a reliable vehicle to get to her job. She got insurance on it. That's the only thing you need to be concerned about. And I said to my daughter, Jelly Cottrell was a reading. I said, a wise woman builds up a house and a fool puts it down. I said, keep building up your house, my daughter. She's happy at the job. She said, well, the job she going to is an hour and a half. I don't care. If she happy working there and she can get there, let her get there. Okay? You ain't going to live her life. You live your own life. Let her live her life. If that's what she want to do, and she's happy doing it, let her do it. She ain't hurt nobody, and she ain't hurting you. Okay? I told my daughter, build up your house.
You were slow to anger, right?
Yeah, I was slow to anger. Yeah, no, I wasn't mad.
Show great understanding.
Yeah.
And nothing you did was hurtful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which means that you didn't exalt folly.
No.
Some people will fly off the handle, get all emotional, get all upset, and nothing is resolved.
No, I didn't. I just asked the person that asked me that question. I said, why are you telling me this now? Since my
right.
daughter had reliable transportation. Well, she
got upset. Question.
Right.
Were you questioning me with my daughter?
Right. I mean, why are you questioning me giving her a reliable vehicle? She's got good insurance on it. As a matter of fact, my insurance carrier, because I got good insurance, my insurance carrier allows her to still be a dependent in a sense that they give her membership, USAA. So she was able to get it because everybody else wanted the sock sold to a Cottrell. But because her father was a member of USAA, with my house and my car, they gave her a good deal. And her still being a member, but she's carrying her own insurance. She saved about $80-something. But her father, being the father that she is, going to subsidize some of her insurance so she get out of school. That's part of the deal. When you finish school and get out of school so you can depend upon yourself so you don't have to rely upon no man. I'm not saying telling you not to marry a man, but I want my daughters to be independent, that they stand on their own 2 feet. And so you can always... Yo, go ahead.
My question to the person that's asking you questions about your daughter would be, where was you when she was 1 year old?
Cottrell.
The counsel and advice that you got.
No.
How are you coming along now?
Well, Cottrell.
I'm a woman, and you got advice and counsel for me in regards to me and my daughter. Where was you at when she was a baby?
I'm going to just say this. This person who's making these comments and inquisitions about my daughter is very close to her, just like a father, okay? That's all I'm going to say. He's this person of a female sort. It's very close to her, just like her father, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Okay,
so this person, and she knows who this person is, plucked down her house. And my daughter know what I'm talking about. She plucked down her houses. And I told my daughter, you are not a child anymore. You got to stand on your own feet and build up your own house. Okay? And that's all I'm going to say about that. And I don't speak ill of the other person. I may have to catch myself in a very, I said, oh, I didn't mean to say that about your folks. But you got to respect your folks because that's your folks. I ain't got to respect them like that. I can put it on. I'm not going to say nothing ugly, but I can put them on blast. But you can't do that, okay, because them your folks. You can't do what daddy do. But I don't say nothing demeaning or derogatory But I may catch myself, hey, this man, these people are plucking down the house. They've been doing that. I've been knowing them long before you here. That's all they've been doing, plucking down the house. She said, Dad, I said, nah. She started laughing. I can say this, but you can't, okay? Because you got to honor the rules, okay? You feel me, Cartrell?
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead and finish up, Cartrell.
All righty. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honors him has mercy on the poor. So you honor Yah when you have mercy on the poor. I think Joe Biden better take note.
He needs to. He say he does. Let's see where he do it.
And not just the children on the border, but our people in general. We've been oppressed. We've been poor. We haven't received reparations when everybody else had. And they have reproached the way they treat us. They're reproached to the Most High in the way
right.
they have oppressed us and treated us.
Right.
Because the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. So we ain't got to worry about wicked people. But the righteous, we got to worry about being righteous.
Mm-hmm.
The righteous has hope in his death. So even
mm-hmm.
in death, you have hope. That says a lot right there. Maybe you didn't
mm-hmm.
catch it. There's hope when you die.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom rests in the heart of him that has understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. So you're going to know everything about foolish people. How you know? Because they air their dirty laundry out on Facebook, don't they?
Don't they? Tell everything they talk. They tell everything they know. That's what the good book said. Is that a fool tell everything you know. And they certainly do, Katya. And then some. And if they know anything about you, they'll tell some of that too.
And it's called that tail bearing.
Yeah.
Okay. Tail bearing.
Exactly.
You talk about me, I don't talk about you.
Exactly.
It says, righteousness exalted a nation. And we haven't been righteous since we've been a nation, except under maybe Joshua for a little bit, right? But sin is a reproach to any people. So there's good and evil in the world. And all nations are accounted according to their good or evil. This has nothing to do with the laws of Moses. This is like the Job situation. Are you righteous or are you unrighteous? It says righteousness exalts a nation. It could be any nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. So all nations can sin. All nations can be righteous. It's the choice that they make. The king's favor is towards a wise servant. So that's what Yah wants, because he is our king. And his favor will be towards his servants that are wise. Incumbent upon us to serve our king, which is Yah, being wise servants, meaning we have to attain wisdom. And on the earth level, you know, a king only wants servants that are wise. But his wrath is against him that causes shame. We saw that in the instance with Mordecai and Haman. Trying to hang Mordecai, lying to the king.
Right.
He brought shame, and the king hung him, didn't he?
He certainly did, Cadre.
And the king showed favor in Egypt when Joseph interpreted his dream, didn't he? As a matter of fact, he made him second in charge. And Nebuchadnezzar found that his servant Daniel was extremely wise. He was able to tell me my dream and the interpretation of it. I want this man right here.
Exactly.
So yeah, a king that's ruling the nation wants somebody that's wise, but not anybody that's going to bring him shame. So the servants of king what was his name, that king was Jabin,
right? Sisera.
No, Sisera was a servant of Jabin,
right?
But there was a king Elud. Where Ehud stuck him in the belly with a dagger?
Elgon, I believe it was Elgon.
Okay. He didn't have wise servants, did he?
Not by the looks of it.
Huh? That king didn't have wise servants because his servants left him vulnerable. And he was assassinated.
Well, Gabriel, not by the looks of it that he had any wise servants, because they wouldn't have said, hey, man, no, Your Highness, you can't hang out with this guy like that. We don't know him like that.
They should have searched him, right? Body search. We checking you for weapons, bro.
Exactly.
That's what they do now, right? Catch you down. What? They missed that opportunity, didn't they?
A wise servant would have said, hey, man, you can't be with the king like that by yourself. Mm-mm. Got to hear somebody.
And even if he didn't have a weapon, the king was so fat, he might have just punched him. He would have had a heart attack.
You need to quit it, man.
Now, I'm talking truth. He's so fat, he can't even get the knife out of his belly. He's that big. Come on, man. If I punch you in your chest with a mighty blow, it might stop your heart, man.
Yeah, he was a big one.
But the dagger did the job.
Mm-hmm. Well, you done, Godrell?
Yes, sir.
You know that fool, I want to give you an update. You know, we were talking about Boulder, Colorado. You know that fool killed 6 people up in that grocery store.
He killed 6 people?
Uh-huh.
Well, what's his issue?
You crazy, evil, wicked. Pick any one of them.
He had a bad day, huh?
Yeah. Well, Godrell?
Yeah.
You got any more commentaries on any subject matter before we go?
You will never hear the authorities say that a brother had a bad day if he shot 6 people on a rampage.
No.
You will never hear him say a brother had a bad day.
Well, that's universal white race supremacy for you, Godrell. They have bad days.
That in each instances of these shootings, these people come out alive with police tactics.
Not a scratch on them. Not a scratch on them.
And how is that possible? You shooting unarmed brothers, but people that's doing multiple shoot downs, they managed to, you know, come out unscathed. I think this guy got shot, but he came out alive.
Well,
trust me, if that was you or me, Yamsuf,
you already know, bro. Come on, man. You already know.
They would have been taking us up off the payment, bro.
Shoot to kill. Shoot first and ask question later. All right, Godrell, fellow students. Well, Godrell and I, we don't know where y'all are going. We hope y'all enjoyed the study session. We try to make it light. But as Godrell, he said something very important in this study session about in regards to his father, telling him to search for himself, study for himself. And we're telling the very same thing every day. Don't take our word at it. You study it for yourself. We could be in error. We could be dead wrong. So, and if we are, please come back and inform us. So don't take our word for it. Study it for yourself. That being said, Cottrell and I, we don't know where y'all are going, but we do know this for a fact. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. Cottrell from New York City. Yamsu from Memphis, Tennessee. Those are the prison cells that we hail from. And we hope you got some good information to study and that you apply it to your lives. It does you no good unless you apply it. And we suggest you get you a new thinker. Maybe a thinker like Mose, a humble thinker. Maybe a thinker like King Dawood, a humble thinker. Maybe a thinker like Job, a humble thinker. Maybe a thinker like Joshua. A humble thinker, you catch my drift. That's obedience.
How about
to you.
Barack?
Oh yeah, a humble thinker like Barack, not Obama, Barack in the word. Okay, a humble.
I didn't catch that. You just said it.
Not that Barack, Barack. Okay, get your thinker, a good thinker, a thinker that's fear the Most High, love the Most High. Trust the Most High, obey the Most High, and follow the Most High, and love the Most High people, and thirst for the Most High daily. You can't do without it. It's like Lay's potato chip. You can't eat just one. That's how the word should be to you. We love you. May the Most High be with you. And have a good night. Shalom, Cottrell. Shalom, my brother.
Shalom,
shalom, shalom. Good night.
Achieve.